Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Gopi Chanda Pala Bhagiravarid Hari. Gopi Chanda Pala Bhagiravarid Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanacharya Yamuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvraja Gachara Sotera Siddhashri Shimana's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Veda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda All glories to Simple Devotees All glories to Simple Devotees All glories to Simple Devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Janamani Namaste Saraswati Devam Gaura Vani Pacharni Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatati Sitarni Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 40, The Appearance of Lord Varaha. Dumstragya kotya bhagavans tvaya drita. Dumstragya kotya bhagavans tvaya drita. Virajate Buddhara Bhusa Buddhara Yatavanandi Saratodhatadrita Matanga Jendrasya Sapatra Padmini Dangstragna Kotya Bhagavans Tvayadrita Virajate Buddhara Bhusa Buddhara Yatavanani Saratodhatadrita Matanga Jendrasya Sapatra Padmini Dangstragra Kotya Bhagavans Tvayadrita Virajate Buddhara Bhusad Buddhara Yatavanani Saratodhatodrita Matanga Jendrasya Sapatra Padmini Kotya Bhagavan Stoya Drita Najite Buddha Busa Buddha Nirshota Dattatra. Matan Gajendra Drasya Sapatra Padmani. Madhijis, Vaishnavis. We don't have the...
We're trying to feed the sound.
Okay. Anstragya kotya bhagavans tvaya drita Vijayate buddharabhu sabudhara. So,
can I have the drum? Sure.
To pass it by. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dungstra Agra. The tips of the tusks. Kotya. By the edges. Bhagavan. O personality of Godhead. Twaya. By you. Drita. Sustained. Virajite. Is so beautifully situated. Buddhara. O lifter of the earth. Bhu, the earth, Sabhudara, with mountains, Yata, as much as, Vanat, from the water, Nisarata, coming out, Dita, by the tusk, Drita, captured, Matam Gajendrasya, infuriated elephant, Sapatra, with leaves, Padmini, the lotus flower. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O lifter of the earth with its mountains, which you have lifted with your tusks, is situated as beautifully as a lotus flower, with leaves, sustained by an infuriated elephant just coming out of the water. Purport. The fortune of the earth planet is praised because of its being specifically sustained by the Lord. Its beauty is appreciated and compared to that of a lotus flower situated on the trunk of an elephant. As a lotus flower with leaves is very beautifully situated, so the world, with its many beautiful mountains, appeared on the tusks of Lord Boar. Om Gyanati Brandisha Gana Salakai Chakarun Mitamina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchako Patubisha Kribasinabibacha Patidano Pavane Bio Vaishmir and Rona Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunachananda Shri Vedagadar Shivasati Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we have a very short description and purport of Lord Varaha lifting the earth from the water. The beauty of the earth is mentioned. And in fact, it is mentioned that the beauty of the earth is enhanced by its association with Lord Varaha. And of course, the earth is very important, and it's mentioned very often in Krishna's pastimes. We see the earth coming into play many times from the point of when Lord Bhumi goes to Lord Brahma, and they approach Shiradakshay Vishnu with the case of the earth being overwhelmed by the influence of the demons. To further in different pastimes, we see the earth coming up every once in a while. Actually, remember the Bulbasaur? Pastime of Bulbasaur. The earth was actually the mother, the mother of Bulbasaur. And it's also mentioned later in the next few verses that the earth is the wife of the Lord. But I'll leave that for future classes. So I don't have too much to add about Lord Varaha. We've discussed it, and the devotees have covered this so nicely in recent classes. So I thought what I would do today would be maybe a little bit different. I'd like to talk about incarnations and avatars. Of course, Lord Varaha is a Leela avatar, and Krishna descends to display different pastimes and different expansions and different species of life. So I want to discuss a little bit about these different expansions and avatars of Krishna. As I got into trying to study this for today's class, I realized it's somewhat of a difficult topic, more so than I had realized, that there's a lot of different definitions, a lot of classifications, and ways of understanding Krishna and his various incarnations, which of course are vast. There's innumerable energies, expansions, avatars of Krishna, and they can be looked at in different ways. But I did find some fairly good consistency amongst the major sources. I started with Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhura Lila, chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, where he discusses the different incarnations quite a bit, and also somewhat in Adi Lila, chapter 2. Now, these general descriptions are expanded upon by the Acharyas, specifically Rupa Goswami and Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Speaks quite a bit about the different incarnations, and so does Jiva Goswami in the Krishna Sandarbha. And they follow fairly much a similar order to the way Lord Chaitanya did, so that's kind of the order that I'm going to try to present this in as it was described to Sanatana Goswami. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, first of all, Lord Chaitanya describes that there are three primary energies. I'm going to start from the beginning here. In the beginning, there is Krishna. And Krishna has three energies. It says Krishna possesses the internal potency, the external potency, and the marginal potency. Oh, the Chit Shakti, the Maya Shakti, and the Jiva Shakti. Now, there's another name for these as well. And actually, Madhura Lila 8, it's described Antaranga Baharanga Tatashta Kahigyari Antaranga Sarupa Shakti Shabarupare. In other words, these are all potencies of God, internal, external, and marginal. But the internal potency is the Lord's personal energy and stands over the other two. So here they're called Antaranga, Antaranga, Bahiranga, and Tatashta. Then in Adi 2.101 says the Chit Shakti is also called the Sarup Shakti or the Antaranga Shakti. These are all the same names, basically, different ways of describing Krishna's own potency, the personal power and shakti of his form, of his sarup. In other words, this is his personal internal energy. It says it displays many varied manifestations. It sustains the kingdom of God and its paraphernalia. So not only do we see Krishna incarnate as avatars, as different personalities, but his kingdom, his dham, all his paraphernalia, this is all his expansion. It's described that all of Vrindavan, the spiritual world, is directly an expansion of his Sarup Shakti. So, this is Krishna. Krishna and his dham, Krishna and Vrindavan, that's why we say they're non-different. Because it really is, it's his own personal energy that goes into this. Then after this, it's described the process of devotional service given to the jivas in the material world. Then Lord Chaitanya describes that Krishna is the Supreme Godhead, the source of everything. And then he begins to describe the incarnations. Now, before he gets into specific incarnations, in a very similar way as the Jiva Goswami does in the Krishna Sandarbha, he substantiates the position of Krishna. So there's no point in trying to understand expansions or incarnations of Krishna unless we understand Krishna and understand that how Krishna is really the original source behind all these. And of course, the verse that's most frequently quoted is Ete Chamsa Kalapunksa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3:28. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And why this verse is particularly important is where it's strategically located. After Sutta Goswami describes 20, 22 different incarnations, different expansions of Krishna, then he says this: they are all coming from Krishna. And Jiva Goswami mentions in his purport that ete cha, in the beginning, this means all that have been mentioned and all those who haven't been mentioned. In other words, all of the expansions that were discussed in the previous 20 verses or so, and any others you could possibly think of, they're all coming from Krishna. Krishna is the original Swayam Bhagavan. So then, in Krishna Sandarbha, verse 29, Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam is the Parabhasa Sutra, or explanatory phrase for all statements in the book concerning all avatars of Bhagavan, since it gives a definition at the beginning of the book, and Krishna alone is denoted by later statements. The Parabhasa is stated once in the text and not repeated. Then further he says, Tattva Sandarbha, which was, of course, the first of the six Sandarbhas that Jiva Goswami wrote, has established Bhagavatam. That was one of the main points of the Tattva Sandarbha, to show that Bhagavatam is the highest truth. It's the highest proof. It's the conclusion. If we want to know, after reading all the different Vedas, all the different literatures, what do we go by? We go by Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is that highest understanding. So he says that since Bhagavatam is proven to be the conclusion and the Parabhasa Sutra is the strongest statement, the wise will thus make all of the scriptures harmonious with its conclusions. Now this is quite significant, because what Jiva Goswami is saying, why it's so important, is this is practically the most important verse there is in the entire Vedic literature, right? If the Bhagavatam is our main literature, and this verse is the keynote verse that describes that everything else is built around, then to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original source, the original cause of everything, that is the most important understanding. And he says all scriptural statements should be seen with this conclusion and not contradict it. So in other words, and he'll often do this, Jiva Goswami will go, and then of course he doesn't stop with this, he goes about another 100 verses on, explaining how even those, and he'll even oppose all the opposition. Here's the opposition arguments, and this is why it doesn't mean this way, and this is what it really means, and showing how everything can be reconciled by this very important, excellent Parivasa Sutra. So, then the expansions and powers of the Lord are described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One phrase or one set of words we see a lot in these discussions is Amshi and Amsha. Amshi means the source, Amsha is the expansion. So an Amsha is what all of the different incarnations are described as. Now, Amsha is a plenary portion, it's complete. All powers are contained. So we're plenary, that's what it means. Prabhupada often says it's a plenary portion or a plenary portion like that. Plenary means containing the same power. Like if you had a plenary session committee meeting of an organization, it would mean that plenary has the same power as a regular session. In other words, it has the same standing. So all the forms of Krishna are all powerful, they are all Krishna, and everything is contained within them. So it is correct to say that all forms are perfect since they possess all good qualities, but there's no fault in calling Krishna the Amshi because he displays all the qualities where the Vilasa and Swamsha forms do not. So this brings us to then what is the difference between the Amsha, Krishna, and the Amshi or sometimes we say the Avatari and the Avatar. The differences are, one, that Krishna, the Amsha, is always the source of the Amshi. Krishna comes first, the Amsha comes before the Amshi. So he's the original, he's the Adi Purusha, he's the Swayam Bhagavan. And Krishna displays all qualities, all powers, all opulences whenever he appears in his original form as Krishna, where the others do not necessarily. So what we see is a difference in the opulences and qualities. So if we say Lord Varaha is all-powerful, he is Krishna, and he has all the powers of Krishna, which is true, what is the difference between Lord Varaha and Lord Krishna? Lord Varaha does not have all of the opulences of Krishna. In other words, they're displayed to a lesser degree. So that, you know, all of our Vaishnava literature say that Krishna is the most beautiful, that he's the sweetest, his relationships with devotees, you know, are the most filled with prema. So Krishna is going to have those special qualities even above his own incarnations. Okay? And we know, we see those 64 qualities are mentioned in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu and the Nectar Devotion. And those 64 qualities are there, and it said that the living entity, if they're perfect, can exhibit up to 50 of those qualities, 5 more in Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, another 5 in Lord Narayan. But then we have 4 qualities, 6 out of the 64. The last 4 are only found in Krishna. And this is explains some of Krishna's attraction, how Krishna is so wonderful. He's the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially childhood pastimes. You don't see that in other incarnations. He's surrounded by devotees endowed with a wonderful love of Godhead. In other words, the highest level of prema is exhibited by Krishna's devotees, and particularly Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan, more than any other incarnations. Third, he can attract all living entities all over the universe by playing his flute, and he has a wonderful excellence of beauty, which cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. So thus, Krishna is unique. Krishna becomes all attractive. He has special qualities that enhance the loving relationships with devotees and bring about the highest levels of Krishna prema. The rasas also are not as advanced in other forms. Even with Narayan and in Vaikuntha, usually we only see up to dasya ras, servitude. And of course, we see that worship is on reverence in other forms. But in the form of Krishna, we see in both the Vrindavan and Dwarka features the Sakya rasa, Vatsalya, Madhurya, friendship, parenthood, and the conjugal rasa, or loving relationships with the gopis. So this is unique in devotees with Krishna. He has these special qualities, and that's what makes him so attractive. And of course, that's why we worship Krishna. That's why we're the Hare Krishna movement. Okay, now, the way that the discussion continues, both by Vicharyas and by Lord Chaitanya in Majjalila, is a classifying or categorizing Krishna's expansions, energies, avatars, incarnations by 3 ways. First, by his powers or his opulences. Secondly, by his functions, the function of the avatar. And third, by the duration, how long the particular incarnation appears when they come to the material world. Now, of course, when we're talking about that, we know that most of these incarnations are eternal, and they have eternal spiritual forms in the spiritual world, especially the Leela avatars. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists in 3 principal forms. Now we're going to get into some of the technicalities here. And I've actually not put all of them in here because it gets very complicated, and I had to write them down myself trying to remember these and going over these a few times. So I'll try to keep it reasonably simple. There are 3 principal forms: Swayam Rupa, Tadekatma Rupa, and Avesha Rupa. This is from Majjalila 20, about 165 in there. Okay. According to Krishna Sandarbha, verse 26, the Lord appears in 3 ways: Swayam Rupa, Tadekatma Rupa, and Avesha Rupa. The independent form is called Swayam Rupa. In other words, Krishna is independent, right? Krishna is the origin. He is the Swayam Rupa. The Tadekatma Rupa is non-different from the Swayam Rupa. It's still Krishna, but dependent on it. In other words, they are coming secondary from Krishna. And the Avesha Rupa is a special jiva whom the Lord has given powers. And we'll talk more about that. The original, okay, this is from CC ID 197. The original form of the Lord is Swayamrup, is exhibited in two forms. This is his original form, the Swayamrup, in two forms, Swayamrupa and Swayamprakash. Still with me? We're still talking about just Krishna now, Krishna's original form. His original form is Swayamrupa. Krishna is observed as a coward boy in Vrindavan. That's pretty apparent. In his original form, Krishna manifests himself in two features, Prabhava and Vaibhava. He expands one original form into many, as he did during the Rasa Leela dance. So, the Prabhava form of Krishna means that Krishna is expanding himself, but it's not an incarnation, or it's Krishna. So, also, when the Lord married 16,108 wives at Dwarka, he expanded himself into many forms. These expansions and expansions at the Rasa dance are called Prabhava Prakash, according to the directions of revealed scriptures. Okay, so these are the Prabhava expansions. In other words, when Krishna expands his 16,108 different forms in Dwarka for each one of his queens and each one of his palaces, each one is equal. They're all basically, it's all Krishna. It's not a form of Krishna or an energy of, you know, it is Krishna. And the same when Krishna expands to be with the gopis. And sometimes it's described when Krishna expands to be with every single one of the gopis. I've seen different numbers, but I think Rupa Goswami puts it as something like 2 million gopis. Like that. Does anybody remember it more exactly? I know that there's some numbers like that mentioned, like in Ujjvala Nilamani and things like that. There's like 2 million gopis or something. Which means? Oh, okay, way over. More, much more. Hundreds of millions. Which is like a billion, right? Or is it 10 billion? I don't know. Anyway, I used to teach math. Anyway, it's all gone now. Billions, millions of expansions. I mean, sometimes you think, well, how could he do that? Well, how many times does Krishna expand himself as the Antaryami, the super soul, within the heart of living entities? Just on this planet. How many living entities are on this planet? Billions and billions? And Krishna expands into every single one of them. And each one is the same and each one is independent. Which means Krishna doesn't have to do the same thing in every expansion. He can, just like we saw in Dwarka, Narada Muni came and visited the palaces, right? And he was doing something different. And there's even different times of day in each one of the palaces, performing differently. So Krishna will also, when he expands himself, he can be doing something very different. Or even if he is in the heart of his devotees, of his beloved devotees, even in this material world, he can be saying one thing to you and one thing to another devotee within the heart. He's the same super soul, but has an individual relationship with each living entity. Krishna is amazing. In fact, I'd say that some of the things we think about Krishna are so far beyond my material intelligence to understand that all we can do is hope that we might have some little realization in the heart of how great Krishna is and how wonderful he is acting. Because that's how you understand it ultimately, not through logic or, you know, trying to figure it out. Okay. Let's see. Okay. If one form or feature is differently manifested according to different emotional features, it's called Vaibhava Prakash. All right, we talked about Prabhava Prakash. Now, Vaibhava Prakash. That is, it's still Krishna, but a little different form. And the main example that's given is Balaram. It says, Sri Balaram and Krishna have different bodily colors, but otherwise Sri Balaram is equal to Krishna in all respects. Okay? So, Balaram is Krishna, and he's a little different than Krishna. So he is this Vaibhava Prakash. They asked Prabhupada once, what's the difference between Krishna and Balaram? They're expecting some big philosophical difference. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is black, Balaram is white. So very, very, very similar. Yeah. But, of course, again, they separate one into two for the sake of pastimes, sake of wonderful pastimes through Krishna and Balaram. Okay. Swayam Rupa and Tatsama. Now, the Tatsama is part of the Eka, what were we talking about here before? I'm losing it here. Anyway, Swayam Rupa and Tatsama forms are called Paravasa avatars. The Tat Amshas are called Prabhava with less powers. The Vaibhava have more powers, according to the degree of powers manifested. They are described in Pama Purana. Swayam Rupa is Krishna, Tatsamas are like Nrsimha and Rama, and Vaibhava formats, which have a little less power, are Varaha and Hayagriva. Okay? Now, we're going to try one more attempt here. This is by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's Prabhupada quotes this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. To understand the difference between Swayam Rupa, Tadikatma Rupa, Avesha, Prabhava, and Vaibhava, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given the following descriptions. In the beginning, Krishna's three bodily features, Swayam Rupa, as a coward boy in Vrindavan, Tadekatma Rupa, which is divided into Swamshika and Vilas, and Avesha Rupa. The Swamshika, or expansion of personal potencies, are Karnadakshay, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Shiradakshay Vishnu, and incarnations, such as the fish, the tortoise, the boar, and the Nrsimha. So two divisions there. And the Vilasrupa has a Prabhava division, including Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. These are very important incarnations, but they have less qualities, right? I mean, we don't see like so many devotees of the Chaturvyuha, you know, because there just aren't the kind of, you know, so many of the personal qualities that like Krishna manifests. There's also Vaibhava division, which are the 24 forms. And these are all explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vasudeva, Prajumna, Aniruddha are also in the second incarnation. So they're like Krishna, but they're less complete. And they describe how there are 24 Vishnu forms. We all know those. And it depends upon which arms that articles in his hands, you know, basically the club, the chakra, the lotus, and the conch. And they're all in different hands. And then, of course, within this, there's also 12 primary ones, and those 12 actually correspond with the 12 months, and with those are the 12 names that we use when we put on tilak, right? Keshavai. These are the 12 Vishnu names that are very important, and they help protect us. So, of all of these, the conclusion, Lord Chaitanya says, is when one compares the beauty, opulence, sweetness, and intellectual pastimes of Vrindavan, of Vasudeva the warrior to Krishna the coward boy, son of Nanda Maharaj, one sees Krishna's attributes are more pleasant. Right? So Krishna is just the most attractive. Right? Okay, 24 expansions are covered. Now, the description is there of this describing the different functions that they perform. So first is the Purusha avatars. Those again are the three Vishnu expansions. And this is in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita verse 9, Baladeva Bijabhushana's commentary on that. He says, the creator of the Mahatattva is the Antaryami of Prakriti called Sankarshan or Mahavishnu. The second is the Antaryami of Brahma and is called Prajumna, or Garbhadakshay Vishnu. The third is the Antaryami of all the Jivas, the Supersoul, and is called Aniruddha, or Shiradakshay Vishnu. Okay? So we're pretty familiar with the Purusha incarnations. They're covered several times throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think we've already probably heard about it three or four times up to this point in the third canto, so we know what those are. The Guna avatars. Guna avatars arising from Garbhadakshay are now described. Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva are involved in maintenance, creation, and destruction. That's again Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So One thing that is then usually discussed by all the acharyas and my Lord Chaitanya is the difference between Vishnu as a guna avatar and Brahma and Shiva. In other words, where Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are considered to be somewhat, although they're pure devotees, they are connected with the modes of nature, specifically ignorance and passion. Vishnu, although he's in charge of the mode of goodness, he's never touched by the material energy and is never affected by it. He's always, you know, completely spiritual and aloof from it. Okay? Then we have the Yuga avatars, and they're called Shukla, Rakta, Sham, and Krishna, and that's by color. White, red, black, and yellow. Okay? And they have specific functions to teach the Yuga Dharma. So, in Satya Yuga, the Yuga avatar taught meditation. Then it was sacrifice in the trade of yoga. Dwarka, of course, they traded there, didn't they? Trade in Dwarka in this particular. Anyway, in Dwarka was Dwapara Yuga, deity worship. And of course, in Kali Yuga, Sankirtan Jagya, the chanting the holy name. Okay. And of course, it differs somewhat a little bit. This is kind of an unusual Kali Yuga in that it is the 27th. Divya Yuga of the, particular Manvantara of the particular time that we're in, when both Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appear together once in a day of Brahma, once in a millennia. This only happens. There's always a Yuga avatar, but for Krishna to appear personally and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is considered Krishna personally, for them to both appear together is quite unusual, once in a day of Brahma, once in 1,000 yuga cycles. So when you think about it, Lord Chaitanya appeared 5,000 years ago and Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago. That's pretty recent history, you know, in these incredible expanses of cosmic time that we're talking about. So we are so fortunate to be born now in this time. Okay? Then there's the Leela avatars. And of course, those are the pastime avatars. Very attractive, you know, to the jivas. In a third chapter, the first canto, they're described, 20 of them or so. And of course, we have the popular song of Das Avatar by Jayadev Goswami, you know, where they're all listed, the 10 very prominent avatars. And they differ by degrees of opulence and qualities. So, in other words, they're not all of the same type. Depends upon, you know, their particular mission and their particular identity. And who they are. Now, of these all, there are three that are considered to be the most important or have the most qualities, the three Leelava, three. Anyone want to guess who those three might be?
Ram, Balaram.
Not Varaha, no.
No, Ram and Balaram.
Yeah, well, you're close, yes. Ram is one. Well, they say Krishna, but of course Balaram is the one that's listed officially as incarnation, but you know, Krishna is saying, okay, Krishna, Ram, and who would be the third? Nrsingadev, yes. Yeah. According to Lagu Bhagavatamrita, verse 16, quoting the Padma Purana says, the six qualities are fully manifest in Nrsinga, Rama, and Krishna. They are thus considered Paravasta. The relationship between the other two, Nrsinga and Rama and Krishna, is like lamps lit from the lamp of full six powers, right? The original lamp lighting another lamp. But in the commentary, Baladev says, among the three successively, Nrsinga, then Rama, and finally Krishna manifest more powers. So again, Krishna is the one who is the most complete with the most powers and opulences, right? Okay. Most people look like they're still awake, right? Okay. Last one, Avesha incarnations. Whenever the Lord is present in someone by portions of his various potencies, the living entity representing the Lord is called a Shaktivesha avatar. That is an incarnation invested with special power. And Jiva Goswami says, primarily, the powers are the powers of bhakti, the powers of jnana, and kriya, shakti. Now, what does this mean? Bhakti, okay, again, keep you awake here. Which Shaktivesha, remember the Shaktivesha is an empowered jiva. Who would be the empowered jiva representing bhakti?
Narada Muni.
How about representing jnana? the four Kumaras. Got to give somebody else a chance there, right? Yeah. And how about Kriya, or ruling power? What were they? What? Well, the one that's listed is Prithu. Prithu Maharaj. Parasaram is also actually a Shaktivesh, and he has the power to kill the rogues and demons, whatever that particular power is called. Another one is Shesha. Shesha is actually, I didn't really realize this till recently after reading different descriptions, that Shesha is usually a Shaktivesh avatar, and he represents personal service to Krishna. Yeah. So and there are a few others, like Veda Vyas, he's the literary incarnation empowered to compile the Vedas. And so there are others who have certain powers like that. Now, and one more classification, avatars classify by the length of their appearance. How long do they stay in this world? How are they scheduled? This is from Krishna Sandarbha, yes, verse 26. There are five types of avatars. Those who remain for the life of Brahma, which is the Purusha avatars. They're there for the whole duration of till Pralaya. Those who remain for a Manvantara, those who remain for a day of Brahma, which are the Guna avatars. Those who remain for one Manvantara, which are obviously the Manvantara avatars. So there's 14, right, in each day of Brahma. They represent, I think, something like 74 yuga cycles. And those who appear in the yugas, those are the yuga avatars, like Shukla. And those who appear personally whenever they please, who are Krishna, Rama, and others. Now, of course, we say they're at certain schedules, but that's because he just chose to do that. He could do something else if he wants. Okay. Now, there's one other classification. Vibhutis. Vibhutis are specific powers, but they're less than an avesha. Okay? And in Bhagavatam 1.3.27, it says, all sages, manus, devatas, powerful humans, along with Brahma's sons, are also considered to be vibhutis of the Lord. So these are some specifically powered individuals. There's also vibhutis, which are parts of the material energy, but they're shown by Krishna to have, you know, specific powers or to be empowered by him. And those are described in the 10th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. The 10th chapter is called Opulence of the Absolute. Srila Prabhupada, the word vibhuti is used in the Sanskrit, and Prabhupada often translated that as opulence. So vibhutis, we may say specific powers or specific opulences like that. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Arjuna asked Krishna to describe the vibhutis mostly so materialistic persons could understand him. Prabhupada says, because the materialists cannot understand Krishna spiritually, they're advised to concentrate the mind on physical things and try to see how Krishna is manifested by physical representations. So what are those? You know, Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon, right? Of all the stars, I am the moon. All the luminaries, I am the sun. I am the taste of water, right? All of these things which are material elements, but they may have some specific power or some specific, so there's something more specific about them. And Krishna says, that thing that gives them that speciality, gives them that opulence, or gives them that bit of power is him. That is his energy that he puts into it. So he's the, of all the months, he is spring, right? And like that. So usually the things that we see that are very nice or very wonderful in this material world, we can look at them and see how they are Krishna. Now Krishna says, these are me. These are my opulences, my vibhutis. And that helps us to remember Krishna. In fact, in that, you know, that little book on the way to Krishna, there's a chapter that says, seeing Krishna everywhere and something. Seeing Krishna always and everywhere. It's really nice. Little chapter. Prabhupada explains this. How you can, everywhere you look, everything in the material world that you see, you can connect with Krishna. And you can see Krishna's behind it. Now, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, one is able to not just see in the material energy, but one is also to experience Krishna in many ways. In the deity form, in the holy name, in his, you know, internally, from the antaryami, the supersoul, etc. So the many, many different ways that we can understand and experience Krishna. But that's a very good way also just when you walk out the doors, you know, see all the things that Krishna says, these are my opulences, rather than just thinking, oh, what a beautiful whatever, right? Say, Krishna has made such a beautiful thing. So, at the end of all that description, at the end of chapter 10, Krishna says, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be spiritual or material world. Anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence. Right? Okay, but we understand that those things in the material world are a very, very partial, tiny bit of Krishna's splendor and opulence. And his spiritual energy is so much more opulent, so much more beautiful, so much more wonderful, and gives such greater pleasure to the living entity than anything in this material world. Okay? And I just, in closing, just thought I'd mention, there's also other types of incarnations. I don't know where they fit into these classifications, but I was thinking, I don't know if some of you remember, was it Wednesday when Ram Govinda gave class? I really like one thing he was talking about. He was talking about the holy name and how the holy name is the incarnation of Krishna. In other words, the holy name is non-different than Krishna. It's the same as him, and Krishna is incarnated particularly, of course, always he's non-different than his name, but particularly in this age of Kali, he has come as his holy name and given us that. And he's also incarnates in the deity form, in the Archivigraha. In fact, I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. It's somewhere like in Bhakti Sandarbha or something, where it's described as a specific energy or shakti. Something like Vigraha Shakti or something like that. I don't remember the name exactly, but it's something like that, the Vigraha Shakti, where when the deity is installed by that shakti, Krishna enters into the deity in such a way that Krishna is there and he can accept our service. So not just he, Krishna, Radharani, Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, they are all there within the deities. The deities are not stone and brass. We hear that so often from Prabhupada. But it's that process of actually Krishna entering into them to accept our service. That's the glory of deity worship. You know, it's not a symbol. It's not something to remind us. It's Krishna there in front of us. Right? So Krishna's mercy to the jiva, to all of us in this material world, is that he comes in so many ways, in so many forms to attract the living entity, to understand him, and so we can serve him. So there's so many living entities, they have so many different desires, they have so many different interests, they have so many different preferences. I know devotees that are very, very attracted to Lord Ramachandra, or very attracted to Balaram, or very attracted, you know, wherever it might be, or Gornitai, and of course, many of us are very, very attracted to the beautiful forms of Radha Shyama Sundar. You know, and that's all Krishna's mercy, as well as coming in another incarnation as the Bhagavatam, Krishna's words. So Krishna comes to us in so many ways, and that is because of his mercy to try to help the conditioned souls to give this up and come back to him. Enjoy our eternal, original position of loving relationships with him in the spiritual world. Okay, thank you very much. I hope it hasn't confused everyone or bored everyone too much. Well, you say that. Questions? Ragamika?
Regarding the guna avatars, can we distinguish them by Brahma is Jiva Tattva?
Usually.
Is Vishnu Tattva, and Shiva is Shiva Tattva, right?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, it's interesting because Shiva is his own Tattva, and we know the explanation is there. It's kind of like yogurt and milk, that, you know, milk can be turned to yogurt, but yogurt can't turn back to milk. So it's like milk, but it's different than milk, like that. But also sometimes it's described that Krishna might come himself, or sometimes even a living entity, a jiva, will become Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma is usually a jiva, although it's described sometimes, if there's not the right personality available, Krishna himself might become Lord Brahma. But generally speaking, what you said is correct. Yeah. And of course, Lord Vishnu is always Lord Vishnu. Always Krishna. Okay. Is there anything else?
Yes. Thank you for the class. It's actually perfect and complete. There was two things as you were speaking that came up, and again, one was the beauty, which the more you talk, the more you encapsulated, things, so it's nice. But even though we can walk out and we can feel the warmth of the sun and we can see, the beauty of a flower and all these things, and we can, ultimately thank Krishna for that, or, understand that this is Krishna's energy. It just seems like to some, conditioning for lifetimes, ancestral trauma, whatever it is, it seems like we are still so unconscious. And sometimes the mind or the head, seems to not allow us to actually go there the majority of the time, right? And so it's nice that when Krishna can capture our attention in those sometimes even simplistic ways.
So just before you, let me just catch up, see how I caught what you said so far. So you're saying even though we might intellectually understand all this and we see that, Krishna can be seen in so many ways, there's something within us that prevents us from really taking that on, to really absorbing ourselves and yes, this is Krishna. And, yeah.
And then the second thing is when you're talking about all the, the wonderful, incarnations of Krishna and his expansions, the one that is actually more sweet is Krishna and his pastimes right there in Vrindavan. And that the only thing that came to me is because of the simplicity, not necessarily it's complex, but there's such a simplicity there that seems to allow just the whole being to be captured. It's not just the head, it's the head and the heart and the qualities of humor and, so many things are included in that simplicity. And I don't know, I can remember like when I first started out, as a householder, you'd have no furniture, you just have a little this, a little that. But the simplicity allows you to be very personal with the person that you're, that's in your environment, that you're living with, that, because you don't have the complexity, you haven't built up all of this, you haven't, built up all, or accumulated all of these, what we consider to be necessities, and then they wind up becoming burdens. And so the simplicity of those beginnings have same thing with the movement, and Prabhupada, those, in the beginning, the simplicity was so sweet, and then it became more complex, and more.
Yeah, we tend to multiply complexities. That's the nature in Kali Yuga of the material mind and the material activity that we do. I was thinking when you first said that, at first I thought you were talking about the simplicity of Krishna and Vrindavan, but then I saw you were talking about our own complexity or simplicity, but I was thinking perhaps it mirrors that to some degree, because Krishna and Vrindavan is fairly simple in some ways, pastoral setting, right? Very low-key, but at the same time, incredibly opulent in its own way. It's described that Vrindavan is more opulent than any possible palace in the spiritual world or in the material world. So, but yet, yes, that draws us to Krishna also. And the things that we're really looking for, beauty, love, everything, well, all of Krishna's opulences, they're there. They're there in that relationship with Krishna. And we do have to be careful that we don't make our lives so busy and so complicated that we're no longer really thinking about that, and we're thinking about everything else I have to do and accumulate and, develop, etc. Yeah, good point. Okay, Pran Govinda Prabhu.
Yeah, In the beginning of your class, you have established the supremacy of Bhagavatam above all other literature.
About what?
All other scriptures.
No, oh, yeah.
I'm not thinking or looking down other sampradaya. They are also bona fide. Like Sri Sampradaya, Vishnu Puran is highest. Even Madhya Sampradaya, we are one branch, but the other, Taittiriya Upanishad, there is like a prime. They do not consider Bhagavatam as the prime. I'm just curious, like, that these four divine quality of Krishna's supremacy, how it will ever be manifested to them?
I'm not sure, because I think to us, the qualities of Krishna and why he would be the most attractive seem so apparent, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we read, this is what we're studying, this is what our acharyas tell us, what Srila Prabhupada tells us. You know, so it seems very clear. So how do people come to other, you know? You can't just say it's Maya, because they are, as you said, bona fide sampradayas, and there are different tastes. There are different appreciations of Krishna in different ways. For instance, the Sri Sampradaya, you go to somewhere like Tirupati or Tirumala, you know, which is the most popular temple, I think, in India, where there's lines to go for hours and hours to see them. And one of the main reasons, it's actually very beautifully, the grounds and everything, it's very nicely done, but one of the main reasons is that people think they will get material benefit by seeing that deity. I've been there twice, because we had GBC meetings there, and I was able to go there. And it was really interesting, I'm really glad I went. But down in the valley, in the ISKCON temple, where we had Radha Krishna and the eight, you know, Sakis, you know, we had. I found that so much nicer. You know, nothing like the opulence up on the hill, but it just doesn't have the same. It doesn't have the same draw or the same. I don't know. And our acharyas are actually. They don't say it a lot, but every once in a while, they're real clear. You know, that we should be worshiping Krishna. You know, the worship of Krishna is superior to anything else.
One technical question. It's not a big issue, but for me, my mind will not be peaceful unless I find it. You are emphasizing also for a few minutes what is Angsha means. You said that Angshi is the source. Mm-hmm. Angsha is expansion or came from the source.
Yeah.
That's what I heard from you. And then you said the plenary portion means has the origin, source, equal quality, or Vishnu Tattva.
Yeah, same powers.
What about 15.7 Bhagavad Gita, the famous verse of the Jiva? Mam eva angsha is the same word, angsha is there. And I never heard what is, Mayavadi, they emphasize that, yes, we are that Brahman, we are one, we are the Brahman. It's not like a Brahman is separately from us. We are one. I was curious.
Because they hammer on that point. Because it's true, but it's not the whole truth. You know, it's partial truth. Yes, we are one and we are also different. Chinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. We do have the same qualities of Krishna. We are from Krishna. There's no how could anything be different than Krishna? If you said something is different than Krishna or apart from Krishna, that means it has more power or it's not under Krishna's control. It's something separate. It'd be something, you know, competing almost, right? So it can't be. Everything is part and parcel of Krishna. Everything is coming from him. Everything is one of his energies. And the devotees feel like that Krishna is the very self. Krishna is the self of the self, you know, the self of the soul almost. And that's a whole other discussion. But, so they just have a partial understanding. It's kind of like, is Krishna the Brahman? Yes. You know, is the Brahman one description of one quality of Krishna? Yes. The pure spiritual energy, eternity. But it's only one. It's incomplete. Incomplete understanding. You know. So, net verse, my Maivang show. What's the translation exactly of that? I was trying to see what the point you're making. Yeah. And Amshi.
But so yeah. We can say, I mean, I'm not going to say, but we can claim on that base, we are also Vishuddhata.
I'm Vishuddhata.
No, we are not, but.
Okay, but you know, I don't know Sanskrit that well. You know much better than I do. But isn't one word used in many ways in Sanskrit? You know, there'll be so many different interpretations. Like when you read Sanatana Goswami's, you know, his commentary on 10th canto, I mean, practically every, he's saying, this word can mean this, or it might mean this. It might mean this about Krishna, it might mean, and he gives us five different explanations. And I'm so, you know, I just say, tell me which one. I'll accept it, you know. But, you know, he says how Sanskrit can be broken in different ways, how the letters can. And remember, at the time of the Six Goswamis, Sanskrit was like all one word. It wasn't broken up until, I think, the 17th century or something like that. I was reading. So it's kind of like, you know, sometimes you have these really long words they put all together. Well, it was all like that. So, you know, when an A comes, you can break it so it means it is or not. You know, it becomes long A, then it becomes not. So there's so many ways you can interpret. And that's why we need the guru. That's why we need the acharyas to give us the explanations, to give us the commentaries. Because even if I knew Sanskrit, there's no way I could figure out, you know, what all our scriptures really meant. You know, without that. Who are struggling hard with this, right, this material energy. Right, if they're struggling, they're certainly not equal, are they? Krishna's not struggling, but the living entity is struggling. Yeah, great point, thank you. Okay.
I didn't have a point really. I just, when you brought up the topic of the Sri Sampradaya and like how if personal bhakti and devotion to Krishna is higher and seems so clear, it made me think of Vaikuntha, like the difference between Vrindavan and Vaikuntha. So I just thought, you know, Krishna is so kind and loving that he basically allows for so much variety to satisfy our individual desires. Some people want, you know, the opulence and Vaikuntha, and some people are like, no way, I want to be personal. I want to play with him or talk to him or, you know, serve him more intimately. So it just, I don't know, that came to me for what, you know, all these different sampradayas. Mm-hmm.
But they want to serve Krishna too.
Yes,
they
want to
serve
Narayana,
serve Vishnu in opulence and in that dasya mood. And the thing is, it's still a lot better than the material world, Yin Vaikuntha. But it is described in so many ways, especially in some of the poetry of acharyas, that, you know, I'm not interested in Vaikuntha, I'm not interested in this, I'm not interested in Brahman, only interested in, you know, being at your lotus feet in Vrindavan. Yeah, that's our home. Let's go there, get out of here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.